Grace, greetings, and welcome to the Deeper Daily Podcast for the 19th of March. I'm your host, Paul White. Don't forget, we'll be in Culloden, West Virginia this weekend. Check our website, paulwhiteministries.com/schedule, for times, dates, location. It's Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and I hope to see some of our good podcast friends there. I've heard from at least one of our monthly financial partners who has commented that they're going to try and make that journey. So, and I've never got to meet this individual, so I'm excited about that. And hopefully there will be some more of you that can make it out and be with us. I jump back in today to the 11th chapter of Zechariah, where we've been dealing with God's injunction towards the shepherds who've been dropping the ball, so to speak, on taking care of the sheep. And he has now offered them a chance to break covenant. They need to buy him out. And he says, you set the price. Of course, they set the price at 30 pieces of silver. And we know, according to Matthew 26, that that 30 pieces of silver is the sum paid to Judas Iscariot to betray the Lord Jesus. There's one more thing I want to bring out in the 13th verse, because the 13th verse is that moment where God prophesies that they will throw the 30 pieces of silver into the house of the Lord, and then give it to the potter. In Matthew 27, Judas throws the 30 pieces of silver into the floor of the temple. That's the house of the Lord. The high priests get together, consult among themselves, and come back with the idea to buy the potter's field. And so we've went through all of those things, but there's one little thing in that 13th verse we haven't talked about that I find fascinating in the Hebrew literature. Verse 13 says this, "And the Lord said to me, throw it to the potter, that princely price they set on me. So I took the 30 pieces of silver and threw them into the house of the Lord for the potter." Did you catch the phrase, "that princely price they set on me"? That word princely, you might not recognize that. That old King James, for those of you who, like myself, came up on old King James, you might have forgotten that the word used there was goodly. The old King James says, "And the Lord said to me, cast it unto the potter, a goodly price that I was prized at of them." Well, goodly's not very, pardon the pun, it's not a very good translation. Princely's okay, but not, maybe not as good as it could have been. This is from the Hebrew word eder, which appears only two times in the Old Testament. Of course, it doesn't appear in the New Testament because the New Testament isn't written in Hebrew. But in the Old Testament book of Micah, Micah chapter 2, verse 8, "Even of late my people are risen up as an enemy. You pull off the robe with the garment from them that pass by securely." The word robe is this Hebrew word eder, and it means glory or a mantle or a cloak. Okay, so you can kind of see why they say princely in Zechariah. But the word eder also has an irony in it in Hebrew literature. It is a word that is better translated, and I think this word would have given more weight, this English word might have given more weight to the irony, or to the, you could even say to the sarcasm. And that is the word magnificence. This is really the Hebrew word for magnificent, a word that doesn't show up much. And magnificent is close to extravagant. It's splendorous. It's goodly. But when used in this scenario as it is in Zechariah 11:13, it's said ironically, it's really said sarcastically. Read it through that lens. Let's change princely to magnificent, or magnificence of the price. "And the Lord said to me, throw it to the potter. The magnificence of the price they set on me. So I took the 30 pieces of silver and threw them into the house of the Lord for the potter." Did you catch that? God is saying, of this 30 pieces of silver, what a magnificent price. And only when you know that it's not magnificent at all. Do you catch the sarcasm? It's not a magnificent price. Why? Because it's the price of a wounded slave. They are not treating God as if he is truly magnificent. Or if you want to take the Micah definition of Eder, they're not treating God as if he deserves the king's robe. They're not treating God as if he deserves the splendor of the cape or the mantle that is to rest upon the shoulders of a king. For God to say it in this manner, he's being sarcastic to say, oh, this is how you treat your king. What a magnificent price that you've paid. 30 pieces of silver. And though Zechariah doesn't come out and say, 30 pieces of silver, parentheses, the price of a wounded slave, you and I, because we're students of the word, and because we're pulling those Old Testament scriptures, and we're helping to interpret and identify what's going on, we have the luxury of walking into this text and realizing that God is saying to Israel, is this all you think of me? And then they throw it into the house of the Lord for the potter. A couple of days ago, we dealt in detail that potter's house and what that looked like and why I think Matthew messes up. And I know that's thin ice with some people, but Matthew messes up and references Jeremiah when he should have referenced Zechariah. I want to spend a day, though, now that we've covered the basics of this text, I do want to spend a day talking about the significance of that potter's field and why I think that even though Jeremiah talks more about the potter's field, why an understanding of Jeremiah's viewpoint might help us to understand why buy a potter's field at all? There's an angle at the crucifixion in which God takes care of something else that is broken and forgotten, and that's the potter's field. And we'll dig into that. It's meaty and it's fun, and we'll see you there tomorrow. God bless.